You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Hey, we're going to continue our series called Grace Period. Not Grace Plus, if you were here, that's right, because Grace Plus is all about what we do, our efforts to earn God's favor, and we're talking about that. It's not Grace Plus, it's Grace Period. We started this series last week as we kind of run up to Easter when we recognize, you know, what Jesus has done and the sacrifice he's made for each one of us. Last week, we talked about two roads that we travel on, the road to trusting Jesus and the road to pleasing God. And at the outset, from kind of looking at them, Michael, like, they look the same, don't they?
They do.
They do. They look the same, and it's a good effort, you know, it's a good desire to want to please God, but how do we do that? And sometimes we try to do that through our own efforts. So we said that road, living to please God, that is our own efforts, that's not Grace Period, that's Grace Plus, exactly, is like living in a squirrel cage because we just never know if we've done enough. And some of us are either there now or we've come out of that. So living to trust in Jesus or living to please God, there's a difference, and we've been talking about that. That difference is huge. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. So go there, and by the way, get ready. Anyone ever been involved in like a, you know, like a sword Bible drill or something like that? It's like, okay, get your Bibles ready, turn as quick as you can. Well, today's going to feel a little bit like that. So I just encourage you, particularly if you have YouVersion Live, you're a step ahead of everybody because all the scriptures are there and you can read them along with us. But today, we're going to be tossing a lot of scripture at you today. So I just encourage you, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. That's going to be where we're going to focus on in just a few moments. The other passages will come up on the screen. So if you want to, just jot down the reference and you can check them out when you get home as well. But here's what Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says. For God saved you by His, everybody say it, grace, and we're going to add a period there, grace period. When you believed, and you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Paul very clearly says, here's a gift of God. It's grace. You can't do anything to earn it. It's a gift and has nothing to do with the good things that we have done. And so last week we talked about, I want to say again, that God's grace is unearned. It's undeserved, and you can't pay it back.
That's right.
And if you're here and you're trying to say, God, look, thank you for your grace, and here's what I want to do to repay that gift, you're in an endless cycle of living to please God because you can't pay back the gift that he has given and he has freely extended to all of us who put our faith in him. So this week, we're going to unpack this idea of Grace Plus just a little bit more as we talk about this negative cycle in our lives that really strips us of our identity of who we are in Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a brand new identity in Christ. But there's something that we do that strips us from that, and that's what we're talking about. When we live to please God, we try to hide parts of ourselves that we don't want God. We don't think God sees, and we certainly don't want others to see. And you know what we do? We put on a mask. Just think about that for just a moment, because I'm going to challenge us with this question today over and over again, Michael, we are. What mask are you wearing today to kind of hide who you are? Maybe it's who someone else has told you that you are. You know, let me illustrate it this way. I serve on a staff here who is highly photogenic. You know, they really are. Go ahead, give them a big smile. Isn't that awesome? You know, like,
I don't think I'm on the photogenic.
No, you are. And, you know, and really, the staff is highly photogenic, but I'm not. And I know that. And so I have actually had to get over that in my life, particularly one day when someone told me that when I smile, this is what I look like. I look like the Joker. That's true. And, you know, when that happened, I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on a mask because I don't like that. And suddenly, something that someone says, they kind of project upon us, and we take on that identity. Now, I've gotten over that years ago. But that happens to us in the spiritual realm as well. Somebody says, oh, this is who you are. And we put up a mask. You go, you know, you're a follower of Jesus, And we kind of go, oh, yeah. You are a follower of Jesus? It was interesting because this morning early, I was reading in John chapter 9. And that story that's there may be familiar to you. Jesus heals a blind man. But as I was reading that, Michael, this morning, I thought, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about today. Because Jesus sees a blind man, and here's what happens. Here's what unfolds. The disciples that are with him say, Rabbi, was he blind because of his own sin or because of his parents' sin? Now, this guy was blind, but he had two ears, you see. And he could hear, the visual that you get there is that he was in close proximity to Jesus. You think he's a sinner because, like, of his own sin or his parents' sin? And all of a sudden, it's like who I am, based on who I say you are. And this mass goes up. We're talking about that today because it's an endless cycle. And some of us have come into this place, into this party, with a mask on. And there are a number of masks. Let me share them with you, and maybe you can kind of connect with them. Happiness. You know, we got to put on this mask of happiness because everyone expects I need to be happy. We put on this mask of strength. You know, I am going to do it. And so we wear this mask of strength, of confidence in ourselves and in our own abilities, indifference, or a mask of spirituality. And we learn to talk in certain ways so we sound really spiritual. So we don't just say, like, God, we don't speak in normal tones. We go, God.
Or guts.
Yeah. That's a mask because it's, you know, we want to show our spirituality, right? Or how about this one? We've never done this, have we? Having it all together. Anyone ever wear that mask? And what suddenly happens in this grace period is that we change it to grace plus. Now we have to become something, you see. And we wear this mask. And so it hides that identity of who Jesus says that we are. And that's what we're talking about. We are who he says we are because of his work in our life and nothing else.
His grace.
His grace.
Yeah, I call this Facebook syndrome. You all who are on Facebook know that there's this thing called a profile picture.
On Facebook, we all know that there's this thing called a profile picture, right? And it's where we present something that we want others to see. Like this, right? And then there's also reality, right? And it can be a lot different than the profile picture. Now, for clarity, Facebook is probably not the safest place to build relationships or authenticity or truth. But you know what? The church should be. The church should be. Here at Gateway, we're striving to build a culture of love and of acceptance and of authenticity. And that's because that's what it means when we say that we're on the Jesus-centered mission to be a place where people can experience the life-giving hope and care of Jesus. That's what it means. But it's so easy sometimes to just slip on a mask on the way in the door. The mask of I'm fine or things are great or if I was any closer to Jesus, I'd be in heaven. Right? You know that mask? Yeah, you're laughing. Everybody knows that's a mask, right? But, you know, that pressure builds in that grace plus mentality, you know, that equation that we learned last week, you know, more right behavior, you know, plus less wrong behavior equals godliness. You remember that sort of equation that we sometimes fall into, that grace plus equation? You guys, it's a lie. Let's just call it what it is. It's a lie. It's a trap. And it causes us to focus on the ways that we fall short or on the ways we accidentally get it right. And so we slip into this pattern of putting masks on that we think will please God. And we reflect masks towards others trying to get their approval as well. But you know what? The truth of the matter is we can never get or receive love when we put on a mask. Because that's a blocker, that's a wall that separates us from receiving the love of the person that we're engaging with. You know, we can never receive true love and true acceptance if we have a mask on. We have to take that off and be known, be loved for who we are. And when we walk around with these masks, trying to please God and trying to please others, it begins to be a house of cards, and it begins to put this huge burden on our lives, you know. But the enemy, he's so insidious, and he whispers in our ear, you know. He tells us how disappointed that God is because of what we did this week or what we didn't do. He whispers that if the people sitting next to us only knew the real us, they would move over and sit by Pastor Tom, right? They would move across the room, and he whispers into us, and that you know, people would judge us. We, you know what? Listen, we all are tempted to put on masks. This last few months, I've been struggling physically. Some of you know this. I've had half surgery. I'm actually having another one soon. And coming into this place, it's really easy to put on the "I'm fine" mask. I'm fine. But truth is, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. I'm struggling. But it's easier to say, "I'm fine. Everything is well." And the enemy whispers, you know. We come up here to a place of prayer, and this past month, somebody came up, "Hey, would you pray for my healing?" And the enemy whispers in your ear, "How can you pray for someone else's healing when you're not healed?" Or somebody comes to you and says, "Would you pray for my finances?" And you're thinking, "Man, if you only knew what mine looked like." You know, here's the thing. God is not inhibited by my health. God is not inhibited by your finances. God is not inhibited by your sin. And when the enemy comes in and he whispers to us, "You know what? You're not good enough. God can't use you. You have to put on this mask." Recognize it for the lie that it is. You can't heal anybody anyway. Right? God does that. So when somebody asks you to pray for them to be healed, do it with faith, because it's God that would work, not you. Right? So I can pray with people in faith, knowing that God has healed me before, God will heal me again, and God can heal you. Not because of something that I do, but because of something that he does within us. And it's that understanding that we have to grasp, to just put aside the masks, because the masks are a lie. It doesn't matter how healthy I was, I still can't heal anybody. It doesn't matter how righteous I am, I still can't save anybody. It's only the work of Christ within us. It's a lie. This whole thing of more right behavior, less wrong behavior equals godliness is a lie. And we know this from the scripture that we just read, that Tom read in Ephesians. God saved us by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. In Romans chapter 8, Paul goes on to say, there now, you know, I memorize this in the King James and trying to read it and something else messes me up. "So now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." Paul says, goes on later even in that chapter to say, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So if those things are true, if there is really no condemnation in Christ anymore, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, why would we put on a mask again?
That is the question right there. Why do we do that? Why do we come into this place or any other place wearing that mask that really hides our identity of who we are in Jesus? Or we strive to become something, you know, and that we want to show to people, "Here I am," and so we have the mask. We don't have confidence in our identity in Christ, of who Jesus says that we are. We're not living under grace, period. We're living under what? Grace plus. And so here's what I must do. Here's what I must look like. Well, here's the big idea for today that we want to leave with you. Trust who Jesus says you are and who he says he is in you. We're going to unpack that in just a moment. Trust who Jesus says you are and who he says he is in you. Who does Jesus say that you are? He says that you're a new creature. You're a new person. He says it has nothing to do with your efforts. and actually has nothing to do with the mask that you wear or who you're trying to become. He just calls us to himself and says, look, here's this gift I want to give to you. It's the gift of grace, period. Nothing that you can do. So two things. Number one, the real God knows and loves the real me. The real God knows and loves the real me. You know what we sometimes do with that statement? We drop off one word. And it says, loves. We go, okay, yeah, the real God knows the real me. Oh, the real God knows the real me, but how about the real God loves the real me? The real God knows and he loves the real me. Sometimes we try to hide that. Can you just think about that for just a moment? That we kind of try to hide and mask who we are before a God who knows who we are. David paints this picture in Psalms 139. Just listen to it. He says, oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. Lord, you go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The real God knows and loves the real me. Sometimes we try to hide the real me, and it's through our own efforts, and it's through our own doing. Mike, we were talking about this on teaching team here a couple weeks ago, that you know we were raised in different cultures, and so I was really raised in a culture of grace, period, but it was different for you.
Yeah, I was raised in a culture where, kind of born out of the holiness movement, where we had to do our best. We had to strive really hard, and there was a list of things we shouldn't do and a list of things we could do, and it was always how we were doing on that, whether or not we were worthy of God's grace or whether or not we were in right standing with God.
And so grace, period, kind of became grace.
Grace plus.
Yeah, grace, yeah. Grace plus. So it's what God has done, but then we have to add our efforts to that. So Paul goes on and tells us not only did God know us, but he loved us even when we were at our worst. The real God knows and does what? He loves the real me, you. Romans chapter 5. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. We have a brand new identity in Jesus. It's who he says we are, through no efforts of our own. And when we were enemies of God, he still loved us enough to die for us and make us friends of God. Friends of God. It's a brand new life.
It's so powerful when you think about it. God knowing everything about you, loving you so much, loving me so much, that he's not just going to stay in that relationship where I'm the almighty and you're way down there, but he actually, through the work of his Son, invites us to be his friend. Can you imagine how awesome that is, that God would invite us into friendship with him? Well, the second idea that we really want to get across today is that the real God lives within the real me. The real God lives within the real me. When we become followers of Jesus, the real God moves in. The real God moves in and lives within us. He is always with us. We can't hide from him. He knows it all. And he loves us and he gives us his grace to help us through life. The Bible says he will never leave us and forsake us. And the reason for that is he's here. He's here within us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says this. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so that we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of judgment, and this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. You see, that's why the enemy lies and tries to get us to put masks on so that we stay in that fear, so we live in that place where we're separating ourselves from his love. But what John is saying, what God is saying to us, is that if we live in his love, if we live in that place of grace, period, if we just rest in his love, that love will cast out fear. And it's in that place with Christ, the living God, living within us, that we can live out our lives in power and in fullness and in boldness, knowing that God is with us. Romans 5, Paul talks more about this. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. No matter what we face in this life, God loves us and he's with us in it. Galatians chapter 5, Paul goes on and says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation to the law of Moses. But the Holy Spirit produces these kinds of fruit in our life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. As we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, not as a work of our own effort, but as we just fall into his grace, then he begins to build his image within us. And those things, those love, that joy, that peace, that begins to build into our life because of his work within us. No masks when we dare to trust.
Yeah, and we've used that term a lot, or that phrase a lot, falling into his trust. Not falling away. We're going to fall into Christ.
Fall back, not forward.
Yeah, fall back into him, not forward into our own efforts and who we are. I love what Paul says there. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. And so often, as followers of Jesus, when problems and trials come our way, what do?
We start to wonder what's wrong with us, or what do we do to deserve God's punishment?
Exactly. So what do we begin to try harder and work harder, because there must be something I have to do now to get out of this, when really it's an opportunity for Jesus to teach us and to build character in our life. But first thing we do is throw out the mask. We go, we can't let anybody know. Yeah. We got to be this person, or I'm not a Christian.
Spiritual person.
Well, in just a few moments, I'm going to ask you a really important question this morning. What mask might you be wearing today? See, here's what we do when we put a mask up. No longer are we be able to receive Christ's love like he desires for us. We're no longer able to love one another like he's called us to do. When he's no longer able to work in us like he desires, it diminishes our ability to allow him to work through us to others, to receive his love and to love one another. But when we put our trust in him and we fall into his grace, he transforms us and extends his grace in and through us. We want to live without masks and in the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us. Not trying to impress God, because he already knows. Not trying to look righteous or look spiritual. He already knows. Here's what we want to show, that Jesus has set us free. Listen to this final scripture from Paul in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way or brand new identity, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone, put on a mask, or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. We're brand new people. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God. It's not from ourselves. It's not from anything that we have done.
Nothing we do. It's him living within us.
Him living. So, let me ask you some questions and just see which one you might connect with this morning. Are you struggling to lay aside your mask and simply trust in who Jesus says you are or who he says he is in us? Is that a struggle for you today? Did you come into this place going, look, I got this mask on because I don't dare let anybody know who I am. And we're trying to look spiritual. And we're trying to do it in ourselves. And is that a mask that you need to lay down today? Do you struggle with feelings of being undeserving of his grace? And I suppose if we were all honest, maybe we've been there. I just don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve it. I mean, it's one thing to be completely overwhelmed with the thought and the knowledge that God would love us so much that he sent his son. It's another thing to go, you know, I've just done so much wrong. And we put on that mask. I don't deserve his grace. Those are two different things, aren't they?
They certainly are. And I think it's important that we remember all this time when we pick up these masks and when we strive and we are, all that we're doing is putting barriers from receiving the love of God. So we need to lay those down.
Yeah, and so that's the next question. Is it hard for you to lay down the striving and just trust in his grace? You see, some of us just kind of need to give up today because we've been working so hard. And God, I just need to do this, and I just need to earn my way in. Is that hard for you? Next question, have you been wearing the mask so long that you've started to believe it's you? It's kind of like that blind guy. Oh, it's a sinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe the mask looks like I've done so much wrong in my life. Well, you know, I've done all of this. There's just no way. This is who I am. And Jesus wants to set you free because that is not who you are. You are a brand new person. You have a new identity in Jesus. Last question. Maybe lots of us will connect with this one. Is it hard to lay down your accomplishments and just put your trust in his grace alone? Is it hard to do that? Is it hard for some of us to go, you know what? Here's all that I've done, Jesus. Here I am. Is it hard to lay down that mask and just trust in his grace alone? Here's what I'm going to invite you to, just where you're seated. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and just open up your heart to Jesus, because I think he wants to speak to us today. Would you just allow him to speak to you about maybe the mask that you're wearing? That's all about grace, period. And for some of you, this is what it's going to sound like. Look, you've been working so hard to earn something that is a free gift. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're one of those who you're wearing a mask today because you're afraid the real you might be seen by God or maybe by someone else. And we've lost the reality that the real God knows and loves the real me. And some of us just need to receive that love today. So we understand that the real God knows me and he lives in me. And he wants to live through me. As we receive his grace today, we are free to love others in that grace. Where are you today? Or maybe you've got this mask on. It's everything's right. Everything's perfect. And you're afraid to receive the love of another. Maybe that's the mask that Jesus is speaking to you today, right now, about laying down, whatever it is. And I would pray that all of us would understand this identity that we have, who we are in Jesus, so that we can be free to love others as he has loved us. And so, Father, I pray right now that you'd speak to us. And God, as we open up our hearts to you, as we understand, for some of us, maybe brand new, for others, maybe just a reminder of who we are, I thank you for the freedom that we can leave this place in, knowing that you love the real me, and you sent your son Jesus die for me, to die for each one of us. It's grace period. God, release us, I pray, from having to add anything else to this gift that you have given. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? In just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. But I want to thank you for just being a part of this day. You know, the largest attended Sunday in the church calendar is that Sunday, I think it's in November now, that we turn our clocks backwards. So you might guess what happens when we turn them forward, right? But you're here today, and I think that's just awesome. I do. And so, by the way, if you're here and you're struggling, honestly, with the idea of what we talked about today, just who you are in Jesus, we'll be out in the lobby here afterwards. Would you connect with us? Or maybe you're here and you just don't understand God's grace. And maybe you're one of those, you just think you've done so much wrong in your life, God could never love you. Would you please talk to us out in the lobby? Because I got good news for you. Jesus loves you. And that's the freedom that we go in. Amen? And so I pray, Lord Jesus, give us the opportunity this week to allow your grace and your love to flow through us. Lord, that gift that you have given to us, may it be used and seen by others this week. God, may we love others in the way that you have loved us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. See you next week. God bless you.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.